Welcome to the 5511 Podcast, inspiring stories of God's power being poured out globally in the lives of ordinary people. Hosted by Dirk Smith and Brooke Kell. This podcast is supported by EEM. EEM publishes, prints, and distributes Bibles and Bible-based materials in 30-plus nations and in 20-plus languages, free to all. Welcome, everybody, back to another episode of 5511 Podcast. It is good to be back, and we are very excited to have a very, very special guest with us who we got the pleasure of meeting, Brooke and I, when we were in North Macedonia back in the first part of May. And very much a God story, how we even connected. And I'll tell you, the kindred spirit. We were so excited to have him. Nikola Galevsky is with us today. Nikola, good morning. Good morning for us. Good afternoon for you.
Yeah.
Yes. Hello. Hello to you. Hello, Dirk. Hello, Brooke. Really excited to be part of this podcast and still remembering our great time in Macedonia, in Skopje and in Ohrid, and how we met. It was sure a divine appointment.
Absolutely. It was fantastic. We talk about it frequently. Hey, for our audience, of course, we know you and got to know you, but give them a little background on you and what your work is in Macedonia, and just a little bio.
I've been born in Skopje in Macedonia some 46 years ago. My family was traditionally Orthodox, and in that respect, I started seeking God at a very early age. So born in Skopje, from a family which is for generations from Skopje, and God met me in Skopje. Ever since that particular occasion, or shall I say series of events, I've been trying to do my best to follow Christ and to do His will daily. And at the moment, I'm a pastor of a church in Skopje, which is called the Evangelical Church Soulcraft. I'm also part of the executive team for our denomination, which is called the Evangelical Church of Macedonia. And we are a missional church. We are a discipleship-making church. We are very strong in terms of biblical literacy and promoting the Bible in every possible way to the people of Macedonia and in every language in Macedonia. So that is a father of Giselle. And as you guys would know, my wife passed away 2.5 years ago. So this is my family history. And I'm really glad to be able to share.
Yeah, it's good to be with you again, man. Good to see your face. And just I'm flashing back to some great memories in Macedonia with you as I hear you talk. And yeah, it was such a blessing to meet you. You shared with us a great story when we first met, and it has stayed with me. I've shared it numerous times, but give us the story again for our listeners about you getting your first Bible and kind of your journey from being Orthodox and your desire to know Jesus, and just how that all transpired.
When I said that I'm coming from an Eastern Orthodox family, basically that in Macedonia means a traditional family who would honor God during Christmas and Easter, some of the saints, but not at all knowledge about the Bible, for example. So I don't recall my family ever reading the Bible. So in that respect, I came out of a traditional Orthodox family into what I would say is a living faith in God and in Jesus Christ. And that took place in the early 90s. That took place in the early 90s when I was with several friends of mine and a group of Macedonians together with internationals. They just said, hey, It sounds like a cliche, you know, but they told us Jesus loves you, and we had no clue what that meant. And we said, well, like, what are you talking about? They said, hey, Jesus loves you, so come. And they said, let's read the Bible together, let's sing together, and let's just, you know, have fellowship together. And it and I said, how do you guys sing? And they said, well, we use guitars. And I said, what? Are you crazy to use guitars in a church? Like, you'll be expelled. Oh no, because that was my idea from the Orthodox Church. So, but little by little, I started. For the first time, I was given a message that I was able to really understand, and then I was able to start to connect the dots. And while I was connecting the dots, God really grabbed me, and God revealed Himself to me through several powerful experiences. So it has been a journey of a young man. And then what I realized is that most of the people, and especially those who were older than me, I was in high school back then, they had a Bible, and I was really eager to read the Bible. Back then, the Bible in Macedonia was super expensive, and when I say super expensive, the Bible back then was, let's say, something like $25 when a monthly salary was roughly $150. So
that's expensive.
It was like I needed to take a bank loan to get a Bible in the 90s and in high school. So my parents were back then not at all happy that I am now part of this evangelical church and Bible believing church. So I knew that there were no financial resources coming to help me get my Bible. So high schooler, no Bible, but great desire, great passion to know the Word of God, to understand who God is. So then I did a very simple math, which was I will refrain from breakfast, which was back then $1. And I calculated that after 20 something days, I will have enough money to purchase my first Bible. So every day, instead of putting the money into my pocket, and I would just save the money, save the money, save the money. And I mean, it wasn't easy, but as the time was progressing towards the amount I needed, the joy was really like increasing and increasing and increasing. And I still remember it was Tuesday, and we were having a youth group, and I was so happy because, of course, seeing my youth friends with whom we were praying and reading the Bible, listening the Bible, I should say more correctly. There was one person with the Bible, and then everybody else would just listen, kind of New Testament scenario. But then I was so happy going to the church. I said, hey, tomorrow is the day. Tomorrow is when I'm going to get my last $1, and I'm going straight after school to buy the Bible. And then the youth group at the church was led by several people. One of them said to me, would you just, I would like to have like a brief chat with you, Nicole. And I said, do you know what it is? And he said, God specifically told me that I need to give you as a gift this full hardcover Macedonian Bible. Tears, and hug this person. And couldn't believe it. Couldn't even go back into my youth group for some time, because this was my Bible. And I remember I kissed the Bible. I said, it was like the Word of God came to me. I was able to read it. And it was a great youth group. And then went back and had my first evening devotion, my first Bible reading. And I don't remember what the verse was, but I remember thinking about this, that God is really watching me, and that he's so interested and loves me so much, and that somehow I cannot outgive God. I can, like, he already has a process for me. He already has whatever I need. So I ended up with $20 some saved plus the Bible, which was great. But it was, looking back at those times, very, very difficult, especially for a high schooler, especially even more so for a high schooler under pressure from his parents. to get any kind of a Bible. So this was God through his word coming to him.
Yeah, so yeah. good. So good.
We love that story so much. We were so excited to share that story with everybody. So thank you for talking about your first Bible. And when we heard that story for the first time across the dinner table, or I guess we were just meeting for coffee, we were like, this is our guy. We love him. You speak to the heart of what we are doing and what we love to do and why we're doing what we're doing. And it's the story of the hunger for God's word and how God is meeting people. And you are that story come to life in front of us. And we were so deeply touched.
Yeah. I remember you when you told the story and you were like, man, it was day 19. I've been doing without food for 19 days. Are you kidding me? And I remember thinking, that is so our God, because that's it's Abraham and Isaac. I mean, that's okay. Go sacrifice your son. What's most precious to you? Well, as a 16-year-old, I can remember as a 16-year-old guy, food is pretty stinking important. You know, I'm not doing that food. I mean, we could eat a horse back then. I mean, there was no way to fill us up. So
no,
to do without that. And I think we laughed at the time. Yeah, God gave you an Abraham and Isaac experience and also taught you fasting at the same time.
That's true.
It was one of those God's courses that I wasn't maybe even aware of.
That's right. Oh my gosh. Again, that's great. I mean,
going back, I'm reflecting as I'm speaking. I still remember it vividly and emotionally, what it meant for me to only have an access to the Bible if I go to church. I'm back home and I don't have anything. So I would have to remember the sermon or the verses, but I had no access. I did not have a hard copy Bible to continue my path, my journey with God on my own. And it just makes such a difference.
Yeah. Well, after hearing that story today and thinking about how we as EEM have more recently started to partner with different individuals to provide Bibles in North Macedonia, how do you see this impacting the nation? Can you talk to us a little bit about the spiritual climate of North Macedonia now and how partnering to provide the word of God will impact, or what it will do? Can you kind of speak to that?
My walk with God, my life with God started 30 some years ago. And it is interesting that you're now making me to make a parallel between even then and now. And what I can see is, I would say, an even greater need for God today than maybe back then. And this is because Macedonia as a country is on several very important crossroads. But I think that all those crossroads have Christ in their middle. So it is a time where either Macedonia comes back to God and comes back to Christ and allows God to reform us in a way that no political process can, or we will continue to suffer and we will continue to live lives of unfulfillment, of wandering, and of values that are just detrimental for the individual and for our society. So when Macedonia has been in a crisis, and we even have a joke over here when some Western countries would say, well, there is a crisis coming, we're like, we don't know anything but crisis. So for now, for us in Macedonia, crisis is just a normal mode of being. But within the recent developments in Europe, as you know, with the war and with a couple of other important developments, and even globally, I mean, I think that we are now at a point of kind of being afraid of opening the for today, because we don't know what is next. And usually it's not a good news. Catastrophic. We are surrounded by catastrophic news. So when I heard for the first time about EEM, I honestly thought that this is like that the journalist somehow wasn't able to understand, like didn't understand what is going on. Because what I saw were hundreds of thousands of Bible that are going to be presented as a gift through the Eastern European mission to Macedonia. I said, you know what, this is maybe some Macedonian journalist, instead of 400, wrote three more zeros and said, you know, maybe 400,000. So it was unbelievable. And I remember with my friends and colleagues and with the church, because this was in the news, people were saying, this cannot be. So in the midst of the turmoil, to have this kind of an input of the of God's word for me personally and for us as evangelical Protestants in Macedonia meant tidings of comfort and joy, that we are not only in turmoil and we are not only in a spiritual exile and we are not forgotten by God, that God is opening a new chapter for Macedonia, and he is using the Eastern European mission as a main tool to revive the nation for him. When we realize that those numbers, those hundreds of thousands of Bibles are indeed a gift, and this is actually going to take place, we said, okay, this is a time to celebrate, but this is also a time to pray and to be able to receive the gift provided for us and to say, okay, God, you are up to something big and great for Macedonia. What is our tiny part? What is our small part in the revival that you're going to bring to Macedonia? And Macedonia, and I would say the Balkans are in great need of spiritual revival. We are hoping for economic progress, political way forward. As a Christian, I'm fully convinced that all those can take place, and in the best way, only with the spiritual revival. And the spiritual revival is the change, is the transformation of the heart of individuals and of the nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we came with both celebration and overjoy. So because of what God is doing through the EEM, through the Eastern European Mission, but also again, as I said, what is next?
Yeah,
we don't want to miss it. God, we're in.
We
are humble. Like we're humbled. We're honored to live in a time such as this.
Yeah, man. I love that. That's exactly right. We see it too, and we shared some of that with you. We see a movement happening. There's a revival happening, and it's not going to happen politically. It's not. It's going to happen within each one of us. And man, it is humbling, very humbling, to hear you say some of the things you said about EEM. But it's just a reminder to us. For Brooke and I, and I hope all of our listening audience, this is not about us. It is not about us. This is God's rescue mission for his people globally. And we are just humbled and honored we get a front row seat for this.
Mm-hmm.
And he's pulling us into this. And we continue to pray for boldness on our part, trust, that we'll walk through the doors that he presents. And Macedonia was one of those. I remember when the request came in, and it kind of blew me away too. Hey, they want 450,000 Bibles. And I thought, oh my word, that's a big order. And ended up having to divide it into 2 years, 225 and 225. But it's the parable of the sower. And it's like you've said, you give somebody a Bible, they can dig. I mean, it's not rocket science. I mean, they get into God's word. And if the heart is good, and if the soil is good, step back, because you're not going to stop it. You're not going to stop it. I mean, I look at you. I look at your life. I mean, there it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, perfect example. Here's soil that's good. This is good soil. Put a Bible in his hands. Watch him devour it. And look what he does with his life. Look what he does. He begins glorifying God at every turn, loving every mm-hmm. person that God puts in his path. His wife passes away unexpectedly from cancer, which is tragic. And as you and I both share that yes. commonality between us, we know that pain of losing someone we love, but it doesn't stop you. And not only did it not stop you, I loved your story of telling us about Giselle mm-hmm. and telling you, Dad, this mm-hmm. is God's mission. We got to keep it going. We got to keep it going, even after her mother has passed. And but that's good soil, man. That's what the Word of God does when it penetrates deep into the heart of somebody who is good soil. So, man, yeah, that's a beautiful, beautiful picture. And yeah, who knows what's going to happen in Macedonia?
We are at peace because God knows.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. And I mean, and that's us here in the U.S. You know, we mm-hmm. can look around and, you know, we can fret and we can worry and, oh man, look at what's happening. But we have to remind each other, who's on the throne? What kingdom are we in? Mm-hmm. See, this is the beautiful thing. I'm sitting here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Brooks in Franklin, Tennessee. And you're in Macedonia, Skopje. You know what? We're part of the same kingdom.
Amen. Mm-hmm. As you said, we are at different locations at the moment, but I was again amazed that we were connected through a mutual friend of ours. Mm-hmm. And we sat on a table, and for me, it was a reunion. It wasn't meeting strangers. It wasn't meeting. And that is what it means to belong to the family of God.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. And it was. It, you know, and for people that don't know, this is part of the story that is pretty neat. I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's pretty neat. So, so I'm at lunch one day in Northwest Arkansas with a dear friend of mine who has just retired from being the CFO of Walmart, and he's asking me how things are going, and I mention this project. You know, in the process of talking to him, I mentioned this project. Yeah, we're amazed. This amazing, amazing project we've got in Macedonia. And he stops me. I mean, I tell him a little bit about it. And he says, wait a second, Macedonia. This is the second time in like 2 weeks I've heard Macedonia. He's like, I barely know where Macedonia is. And I'm hearing it. He said, accidents don't happen. I don't believe in coincidences. So he asked me, do you know? And he says a guy's name who's, you know, good businessman, got his own consulting firm, and he's Macedonian from Skopje. He says, you know, asked me, and I said, no, I don't. He said, I'm going to connect you. So we connect. We have a Zoom call just like this, and he's headed to Skopje like 2 weeks before we were going to be there. He's telling me who he's meeting with, some pretty, you know, high up people, and he says, I'm going to keep my ears open. If I meet somebody, I'm looking for the person. He said, I'm looking for the person that you need to meet. And if you recall, I mean, Mike Zafirovsky, you know, met you and then he reached out to me, email, and said, Dirk, meet Nicola, Nicola, meet Dirk. You guys got to get together. And man, it was great. Like you said, it really was not like we were meeting for the first time. And I said that, I told that to people. I said, you know, honestly, it was like I was seeing one of my dear, dear friends who I hadn't seen in a long time. Yeah. And just so, so welcoming. So tell us, you know, for people, because I know there's probably a lot of people who are listening going, Macedonia, and they're right now looking it up on their, you know, they got their iPhone and they're looking at map going, Macedonia, because we as Americans, we're horrible with European geography.
Sadly.
I'm telling you right now. I mean, it's amazing. And let me
provide a short consolation. Europeans are very bad when it comes to U.S. geography, too. So it's
yeah, and so I'm not hard on people because, you know, I get a cheat sheet because I get to go and I get to be there. And so I have to look it up and know where I'm going. But tell us a little bit and tell the audience a little bit about the spiritual climate in Macedonia. And maybe, I don't know, maybe where you see some things happening, like this request for these Bibles. And I don't know. I know you're not, you don't know the future. None of us do. But you know, what's the spiritual climate like there?
Well, the spiritual climate, the way I see it, is a fruition of many centuries of political, economic, and spiritual enslavement. So in the Balkans, and it is not only the case with Macedonia, so many great powers and smaller powers would go back and forth in terms of possessing the peninsula, possessing parts of the peninsula. The Romans came, and then afterwards, after the reshaping of the Roman Empire, then it was the Byzantines, and then the Ottoman for 5 centuries, and then several smaller Balkan states would take and leave parts of the Balkans. And then something which is, I think, still not very well explained in terms of history, of the reasons behind it, a good chunk of the Balkans became communist, or as it was the case with Yugoslavia, socialist. The pattern that we were able to see, because of this trend being under somebody else's rule for a long time, it created a slavery mentality. And slavery mentality is characterized at the very least by something else, somebody else, or some entity is going to take care of the key segments, and in this case, including the key spiritual segments. When you're under somebody else's rule, then you don't take responsibility. You don't take responsibility for your individual life. You don't take responsibility for your nation. And I think that really built up to a particular worldview, which is very much pertinent amongst the Macedonians, which is, we are here to serve, and we are here to maybe to receive care from another higher entity. This also spilled over into the spirituality and into the Christianity of Macedonia, which means that usually the picture here in Macedonia is that, hey, we have professional Christians, we have those priests, and they're doing something on our behalf, and our almost main responsibility is to show up. So there is a professional elite that does that, but can't do much. And after so many centuries of being ruled by so many different political entities, I think that one of the main conclusions of the Macedonians is that there is almost like a fatalism. There is destiny. There is inevitability. The things are as they are. They cannot be changed, and we just are called to maybe play some sort of a role and get the best of our lives on some micro level, individual level, or family level, because anyways, the major structures are unchangeable. And even me as an individual, I can only operate within this larger structure. So that is very, very important to understand when it comes to Macedonia.
Wow.
Because that particular attitude means hopelessness.
Yeah.
Things are going to be as they have been for centuries. There is no way for our lives, for our country, for our culture, for our values to be changed.
Man,
that is almost like God-given. That is God-given. What is our role? It is just to persevere. So, and that is a very common thread, common idea especially amongst the Eastern Orthodox, even theologians over the centuries. We're here to persevere. We're here to persevere and persevere. I think that persevering is one of the most beautiful and key Christian characteristics on one hand, but it also can be a limit in itself, that you are hopeless and that God is not powerful enough to change the situation and the context where we live. And because of that, it is actually a spiritual capitulation. It is a spiritual giving up on the very possibility that we can do better and that God can do the best in spite of the context. And I think that is one of the reasons why people are seeking God in their hearts and in their individual spiritual quests. But as a pastor, I have discovered that so many of them are even afraid to dream and to put their faith in God because of the context where this journey is taking place. Mm. They're even afraid that they're going to be mocked and kind of, hey, are you really hoping that God is going to help you or your family or Macedonia as such? So with that kind of a fatalism, with that kind of a understanding of the world, it is no wonder that people are not seeking God. But this is also, and this is why, again, I cheer for the work of EEM in Macedonia and in the Balkans. They're doing that because all they know is their history and their present. And all they know about God is some sort of a vague idea that there is some God, almost like the deism. God who is distant, he's certainly not interested in Macedonia. He's certainly not interested in Skopje. He's certainly not interested in me as an individual and in my family. So we will be some sort of a distance friends, distant friends. I might say a prayer. I might even think about who he is, but I do not have the knowledge of God to be able to understand who he is and what his promises are for his people and for nations if the nation decides to turn back to God, or to be more specific, and lately I've been more and more specific and I want to point out, to turn to God in and through Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Sure. And
that's so powerful.
Man, that is powerful, man. The hopelessness, that's it. You know, and we've talked about that at EEM. I mean, that's why we've got, when this airs, we'll be kicking off. It'll be the first part of our hope campaign that we've got going, which is for the purpose of providing 800,000 Bibles. And we really do. We view that as we are providers of hope, of God's hope. I mean, because that's really the only hope. Because as you said, if we put it in anything but Jesus Christ, that's hopelessness, mm-hmm. because that's going to mm-hmm. fail. If I put my hope in the economy, it's going to fail me. If I put my hope in a president or any political person, they're going to fail me. They're going to let me down. If I put my hope in you put your hope in me, I'm going to let you down. I'm going to let you down. I don't want to, don't plan to, but it's, you know, and we've said that, you know, the saying is, and we have this saying here in the U.S., you may have it there in Macedonia as well. You know, they say a person can go without food for 40 days. A person can go without water for 4 days. A person can go without air for 4 minutes. A person can go without hope for 1 second.
Yes.
They don't survive without hope. And we must be the providers of hope. And that's it. And a hope in a God who is here. Mm-hmm. He's not off somewhere else, some distant land out there, you know, mm-hmm. and swooping in every now and then. He's here. He's here amongst us, and he loves us, and he cares, and he does. He wants that relationship with us. So, man, beautiful, beautiful stuff.
You're reminding me again of my first steps in my walk with God. When I heard for the first time that God loves me, that God loves Macedonia, that God wants to have a relationship with me, like I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. And then when I understood that he is not the static God of the pharaohs of this world, of the politicians, of the business people mm-hmm. that are trying to enslave and to take advantage of people just for their own sake, that he actually moved into history and moved into history in Egypt through Moses, and then finally in Christ Jesus, the God of love and freedom, because love and freedom are synonymous. The Macedonian mm-hmm. needs to open up, needs to discover the God of love and freedom mm-hmm. that is changing what nobody else can change, which is the heart of man.
Amen. Oh man.
And the heart mm-hmm. of man, the change of the heart of man means the change of the heart of the nation. Mm-hmm. So we've seen it throughout history so many times. And I really believe that we're going to see it in Macedonia, in the Balkans again. And I'm praying soon.
Yeah. And I think you are the living example of a transformed man who is making such an impact on a city level, a national level. And we just see God's spirit at work. And you've said so many kind of things about EEM, but I'm also just so excited. God's mission through EEM is nothing without people like you who yeah. are on the ground, who are the face of that connection of Christ, the face of Christ, directly to with people, and being that living hope and being the living, breathing, bringing that spirit to life, God's spirit to life. And so I just think it's so beautiful that we get to partner with incredible people like you who are doing the most impactful work by God's spirit.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you, that's amen to that, Brooke. You know, it is, it's humbling. And we often, you know, start to think, yeah, what difference am I making? This is a big ocean. It's a big ocean of lost people. But you know, it's not about us, God. It's through our weakness. It's through our humility. Yeah. And man, I see that in you. You are just loving the people that God puts in your path, and that's all we can do is to be that light and to be that salt, not in a blinding way. I mean, like right away when we started this podcast, you looked at that reflection off that picture in the back. You're like, oh, is that blinding? You know, that's what we don't want to be. As light, we don't want to be that, you know, where people go, oh wow, that's way too bright, turn that baby off, you know. And we don't want to be the salt that's too much, you know, because man, you ever take a bite of food and it's too salty, you're like, oh man, take this back, I mean, this is not good. We want to be that light that people are just, it's welcoming, it's warm, it's that where they want to be. They feel welcomed. You know, you walk into a house that's got the right lighting and the ambiance that's in there, and it's just warm and welcoming. Man, that's what Jesus calls us to be that for everybody. So I do. I look at you and I think the way you greeted us, mm-hmm. and that's why that commonality between us.
So much.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it was good.
I was speechless from even by the compliments. Yeah. So
yeah, even when you called the boat over to the restaurant and we. I mean, watching that boat pull up, and we're like, this boat is coming really close to our, I mean, what's that boat doing there? And just very calmly, you remember that, Brooke? And he goes,
Ohrid water taxi.
Yeah, and he goes, that's our boat. And I'm like, what? We had to step off to get on that boat. Oh my gosh, it was so funny. And watching Brooke go, what? We got to get on this
boat. That's our boat.
That's our boat. How do we do this?
A boat that comes to a restaurant. Yeah.
It was good. Funny. Well, hey, with the little amount of time, and man, I hate we're running short on time, but we are.
I know. I feel like we can keep talking.
Oh, man. And we might have to bring you back for another episode. It might be definitely. Part two.
sure.
But tell us, you know, give us for our listening audience, how can we pray for you, your ministry, and Macedonia? What are some things that our audience, you know, whoever's listening, and for us, how do we pray for you, your ministry in Macedonia?
Thank you for offering to pray for us and to pray for me. I would start with the local church that I'm leading in Skopje. The name of the church is Evangelical Church, Soulcraft. And we are now in a transition, in a very important transition. We just made a verbal agreement about getting a space for which we have been praying for years. And our prayer has been this: God, give us whatever tool, whatever we need to love Skopje, to love Macedonia, and to love the Balkans the best we can. So now we are coming to the very end of this journey. We're going to have a space which is, of course, going to be a place for us to worship, a place for us to have the Sunday services, small groups, youth, kids. It will be a place where we really the word of God is going to be so much present. But not only that, this space is going to have a center for contemporary theology, leadership and mission, and because we would love to raise not only a new we always say a new generation. We would love to improve the current generation of leaders of Macedonia, and help them serve Skopje and Macedonia and the Balkans the best they can with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we are very excited about that. But it is a big and very important segment. Also, we would love to have a daily center for children with disabilities. That is another way that we would love to love Skopje and just welcome those families and welcome those kids. Just be there for them, help them, love them in every way we can. And for this church to really have this on a denominational level, I would love to mention the Evangelical Church of Macedonia is very missional, and we would love to see more churches planted. I mean, people coming to Christ. And believe me, number one priority for us is to have Bibles, because people are immediately saying, hey, can I have a Bible? So what EEM does is also in partnership with the Evangelical Church of Macedonia, please pray that we will continue with the church planting and with just proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is our main calling, making disciples that are going to continue do the same. And also on a national level, please pray for the Evangelical Protestants of Macedonia. We have 11 denominations, and we are in great unity, and we really are standing for each other and standing for the gospel. And so many initiatives, including now in October, we are going to have a forum, Evangelical Protestant Forum, on the church, state, and secularism. So we would love to raise some of those questions within the Macedonian context and maybe provide insights and invite people to have those insights. So the rest of the Evangelical Protestant churches are also very missional, very dedicated, and we need to move forward. So prayers are more than appreciated. For me, on a personal level, I forgot that, especially as a father whose daughter is going to finish high school next year and is looking for educational opportunities. Pray for wisdom, pray for God's guidance. I have a simple wish for her, that Giselle Maria Galevska will glorify Christ through her life. That's my no particular ambition in terms of profession. It will be her choice. Then for the local church, please pray for this new venue, for the new ways to serve Skopje, Macedonia, and the Balkans, for the Evangelical Church of Macedonia, and also for an overall revival in Macedonia, because we would be happy. We are not like brand oriented. We would be happy if all of us as churches, the Evangelical Protestant churches, the Orthodox Church of the Macedonian Orthodox Church, the Catholic Church of Macedonia, if we all experience inner revival and are instruments of the God's revival in Macedonia and in the Balkans. So I have mentioned a few major prayer requests, but the good thing about the podcast, if somebody is listening to it and didn't remember it all, they can always rewind and write them down and be specific.
That's right. That's right.
So gratefulness to your audience, and I know that you have so many people listening to this podcast. Gratefulness from me, from Nikola Galevski, for the prayers that you're going to have on our behalf.
All right, brother. Man, it's been good. It's been good to be with you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for the invitation. The honor was all mine.
And great to see you. Great to see your smiling face and already looking at the calendar and trying to figure out when do I get back to Macedonia. I mean,
tomorrow, if you ask me, tomorrow is a very good day. So look immediately to have you both back. Yes, to have you both back and to continue this journey together.
Yeah, well, we may have you back on. We may have you on for another episode.
Thank you. One more gratitude to Eastern European Mission. We appreciate your work. We are praying for your work. And we really would do our best with the gift that God provided through the Eastern European Mission. I really hope that this will give them, give your supporters, but even the wider audience, an insight. And they will, as they support you, you will continue to partner with us all for the glory of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, with that, Brooke, I think that's a good final word. Well, thank you everybody for being with us again for 5511 podcast. If you haven't subscribed, hit that subscribe button. Share it with people. Please give us a rating. We'd love to hear your comments, no matter what they are. So thanks for being with us again. Have a great day.
You've been listening to the 5511 podcast, hosted by Dirk Smith and Brooke Kell. It's edited by David Wilkinson. The 5511 podcast is supported by EEM. EEM publishes, prints, and distributes Bibles and Bible-based materials in 30-plus nations and in 20-plus languages, free to all. To learn more about how you can partner with EEM, go to eem.org. And we'll leave a link for you in the show notes. We'd also love for you to rate, review, and subscribe. And of course, we'd really appreciate you telling your friends about us. So thanks for joining us. We'll be dropping a new episode the first Tuesday of every month.